elementary school, probably about the age that my wife teaches, they had a little assignment to draw a picture and write a little paper about what they wanted to do when they grew up. And Ross drew a picture of a soldier. He wanted to be a soldier. When Ross was 19 years old, he was serving in the U.S. Army in Baghdad. And he was driving on a Humvee, and somebody, the enemy, threw a grenade in the hatch. And he had a moment's decision. He had enough time, he could bail, he could jump off and save his life. But instead, he jumped down into the hole and fell on the grenade. And he saved the lives of the four soldiers that were on with him. I share that story as one of literally thousands I could tell on this Memorial Day of soldiers who gave their lives for our freedom. Memorial Day is distinct from Veterans Day in that it distinctly honors those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, those soldiers who died in service. I don't know if I could see a raise of hands of those of you who either have family members or know of classmates or friends through the years who died in service to our country. You probably know of some. And we are so thankful for those who were willing to do the great sacrifice. It's interesting, the relationship between the meaning of Memorial Day and what Christians claim as the core and the catalyst of our faith. The idea that one would sacrifice his life for our freedom. We just got done singing several beautiful songs reminding us of the one who did that, not for our national freedom, but for our ultimate and spiritual freedom, Jesus Christ. So this morning I want to talk to you about the call that God gives on our lives of being, he actually uses the terminology, we're going to see this close to the end of the message today, but he actually gives the metaphor that Christians are to be soldiers in God's kingdom. And I want to give you a little background on the passage we're going to look at. You see in the verses section there in the bulletin, we're going to be in 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy is right at the end of Paul the Apostle's life. And he's in prison and he's in chains and he knows that his end is imminent. It's coming quickly. And he writes off this last letter to his young mentee, Timothy, who is leading a band of Christ followers in a congregation. And he's writing to them kind of one last letter as he's there in prison to remind Timothy that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You've probably heard that phrase before. Never is it more apt than here in Paul's final letter. Like, Timothy, I'm getting ready to go. And Paul's martyred shortly after that. And you got to keep focus. The church has a job to do. And that's why I'm writing this letter. And in there, he uses this metaphor of a soldier. And so this morning, if you get your bulletin insert out, I want to talk about five attributes of the daily duty of a Christian soldier. Number one, on your outline, never forget Jesus Christ and his ultimate sacrifice. Never forget. He writes in 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 and 9 to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, Paul says, for which I am suffering even to the point excuse me, of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Remember Jesus Christ. You can almost hear Paul hit the tone of this. It's almost like a war cry or a battle cry. Like, you know, remember the Alamo. Remember Pearl Harbor. You know, listen, Timothy, something has happened that has changed the course of everything. Don't forget it. Remember Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Never forget it. Because if you forget it, Timothy, you will forget what you're supposed to be living for as a Christ follower. Remember it. To the sense of the word here is in a tense in the Greek language that says that has the idea of like a everyday remembering. Continue to remember. Not just once in a while think about it, but every day think about it. Remember Jesus Christ. And a little later in that verse, I love the phrase that he talks about, kind of ironically. He's in prison in chains for sharing the gospel, for sharing the word of truth about Jesus Christ. But he turns around and he says, I may be chained, but God's word isn't chained. It's active and alive. It's still spreading and going forth. And it needs to continue, by the way, Timothy, through you and through your followers, through your gathering of people. I was reading a story this week about a guy named George. This is back in the 90s. And George was a drug dealer and he was a roadie, which meant he kind of did the work for rock bands. And, you know, roadies are those that kind of set up the sound equipment and run all the sound for the rock bands. And so they're called roadies because they travel on the road with them. And he was a drug dealer and he kind of gotten in some trouble. And he ended up just spending a short stint in jail. And George was kind of a guy that liked to ponder, you know, and he had been looking at different world religions and he liked to talk philosophy when he was high. You know, it's fun to talk philosophy when you're high and all of that kind of stuff. And right before he went to prison, for jail for this short little stint he had to serve, he grabbed the big old, how many of you have a big old family Bible on your coffee table or on your end table? That kind of used to be a thing. I don't know if that's a thing anymore, but he grabbed this great big Bible and he took it to jail with him. And while he was in jail, he was just in for like 10 days, but he decided he read God's word and he got to the part that talked about Jesus dying for him. And George got saved while he was in jail by reading the word of God. God's word is not chained. And in that moment for George, it came alive and he met his Savior, Jesus Christ. Encountered the one who had died to set him free. So, Idaville First Church of God, our little gathering of Christ followers, I admonish you, as Paul admonished Timothy, remember Jesus Christ every day. That's the first duty of a Christian soldier. Never forget who it is that you're following. The one who rescued us from sin. The one who rescued us from a life that is far from God to a life that is intimate with God. Never forget. Because you see, we have a job to do. That leads us to the second duty of a Christian soldier. Number two, let nothing stop us from sharing Christ with others. The two go hand in hand. You remember Christ, you got to remember to share Christ. If you forget about Jesus, you're certainly not going to remember to share him with others. Look at what he says in the very next verse. in 2:10. Therefore, Paul says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul says, I have endured everything. You know, Paul gives a list in other places in the New Testament that he had endured beatings. He had endured the rejection of a whole nation of people, the Jews. He was a Jew, and when he turned and he followed Christ, he was rejected by everybody that had embraced him and held him up as a leader. He endured prison, and he was currently enduring chains. All for one reason. They were all the consequence of him sharing Christ with the lost. That's the only reason he endured this suffering, this struggle, was because he was sharing the good news with all that he could. That they too, as it says there, could obtain salvation so they could hear the word of truth about Jesus and about their sin and about salvation. I think sometimes, friends, we forget what's at stake. We get busy with life and we forget what's at stake for those who do not know Christ. Eternal life hangs in the balance, and where they will spend eternity and who they will spend eternity with. Those people in our lives that we love, that we care for, those people out in our community that we live by. What hangs in the balance is eternity and God's glory. Well, I want to go back to George for a minute. George got out of jail after his little stint and his encounter with the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, and his salvation. And the first thing he did was he found his brother, John, who was also a bit of a hippie. This all took place over in Melbourne, Australia. And he led his brother to the Lord. And the two of them got together and they sat down and they made a list of all their friends, all the people that they had sold drugs to, and armed with their big black family Bible that they had taken off of the coffee table, they met with all of them, one at a time, or in little groups. And they began to share what Christ had done in their lives. And within 6 months, 50 people got saved from their kind of edges of society culture that they lived in. There were people who came out of gay and lesbian lifestyles. There were prostitutes. There were addicts. But for George and John, the one rule was everybody's welcome. Everybody's invited to come to Christ. And they shared it with everyone they could, everyone they knew. They began to meet in homes together as this group became a little more numerous. They kind of developed a little community. One, they had a couple homes they kind of hung out in. One was actually a former brothel. And they met. And it was messy because this was a messy group of people that were trying to find their way to Christ. And the story I was reading said, you know, early on there were times when there would be a Bible study going on in the front room and a drug deal going down in the back room. I mean, it was kind of messy. And eventually this group formed a church. It evolved into a church. Got me thinking. I want to pass that thought on to you. Do you have a list? George and John had a list. First thing they did when they got saved was, wow, we better make a list because other people need to hear this. Do you have a list, even a mental list of people that you know that need the Lord? I come back to this. I preach on this every month or so. I talk about, because this is like the main call. This is the Great Commission. This is the main thing. You know, our job, our calling is to share our faith. And seems to me we all ought to have a list going that we're praying for, that we're beginning to pray for an opportunity to share, that we're beginning to prepare ourselves for when that opportunity comes, that we'll know what to share. Even if it's just, hey, all I know is that I was a sinner and that Christ died for my sins and my faith is in Him. I mean, that's the gospel. He died for me and He was raised and He washed me clean and He reconciled me with God. I'm His child and you can be too. Can you all say, could you share that much? I bet you can share that much. Yeah, we can share the good news. It's not easy, though, I have to admit. I mean, I share it so simply, you know, up in front of, I'm preaching to the choir here. I understand that. It's real easy in here. And I understand that out in the face-to-face, in the other context of being out in the world, I know that it's hard. It raises up in us all of our fears. I hear that and I experience that in my own life. That is the big deal for us. It's that fear of being laughed at or rejected or causing an issue in the relationship with that person. And there's a lot of fear. And the question becomes, how in the world are we going to be able to do this? Because although the gospel is simple, sharing it is not simple. I mean, where was Paul because he was sharing it? He was in prison in chains. No, I'm not saying that's going to happen to us in our context, but it is hard. And it brings us to the third point, the duty of a Christian soldier. This will require this sharing, this remembering Jesus and sharing Jesus will require God's power to be at work in you and me. It's going to require God's power. I go back to the beginning of 2 Timothy 2. And he says this to Timothy, he's getting very personal. He says, you then, Timothy, my son, meaning my son in the faith, meaning the one who I told about Christ originally. Timothy, and I say this to you, my brothers and sisters, here at the Idaville First Church of God this morning. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace, meaning that there is a relationship, there is a promise, there is this dynamic that God has established and worked out for us, that part of the gift of His grace isn't just that we get to go to heaven when we die, that we're saved not by works, but by the gift of God purchased by Christ. But that grace, it's a gift that keeps on giving. And one of the things that God is offering to me and to you is His strength for living. And Paul says to Timothy, brother, you need to be in that strength. Be strong in His grace. This is an admonition that Paul is giving Timothy, that Timothy, you need to stay desperately dependent upon God. That's how you, because it behooves the question, how do we experience that strength of God in our lives? And what is that strength for? Well, it's a spiritual strength. It's a strength that will give us courage when we're scared. It's a strength that will give us wisdom when we're not quite sure how to navigate that relationship with that person we want to witness to. It's God's spiritual strength, and it comes from being dependent upon God on a daily basis. That's another reason we got to remember Jesus every day. Every day I got to remember Jesus, I need you today. Jesus, I need your strength today. The mission that God has called us to is fueled and energized by God's supernatural resurrection power that He has designed to flow through little old you and me. That's His plan. It gives us courage and wisdom and faith as we surrender to Him and we go outward in obedience to His will to share the good news with others. God's plan is amazing. God's plan is this. God says to us, I'm not going to reach the world without you. I'm going to do it through you. I don't have a plan B. I'm going to do it through you. But you cannot reach the world without me. You need me desperately as you go share the good news. I got up early this morning and I took a walk and I prayed about this passage and about this message for my own heart and for our church. And I prayed that God, that we would not be a group that simply meets weekly to hear sermons and sing songs. But I prayed that we would increasingly become a group of Christ followers that are on a mission together. Building the kingdom of God, sharing Christ in the power of God. That's my prayer for us. So what happens when we remember Jesus Christ every day, when we share Christ in the strength that God's grace supplies? This leads us to number four. This will require a ministry of multiplication. That's just my way of trying to put into words what Paul says to Timothy in verse 2. He says to Timothy, and the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, I want you to entrust to reliable men and women, others, it's a generic term there, who will also be qualified to teach others. Here's what Paul is saying. Timothy, here's what I want you to do. I took the baton of the message of Jesus Christ and I passed it on to you, Timothy. Now here's what I'm writing this letter to remind you. I want you to take the baton, the message of the gospel, and I want you to share it with reliable witnesses, with others, who will then in turn, down the road, pass it on even to others. And what is true is that there is a chain that goes from the time of Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul, through Timothy, through the church and the early church that we read about in the New Testament. And that baton has been passed from person to person to person to person for 2,000 years until one day, I don't know when it was for you, somebody put the baton in your hand. It's an unbroken moving forward of the gospel. And it only advances from one generation to the next one way. We share it with others. And if you get caught holding the baton too long, or if you drop the baton, it's a disqualification in a track meet. I did that once when I was in high school. I was the anchor leg. I was the fourth leg. And as the guy was handing me the baton, I took my eye off of it and fumbled it and it fell to the ground and we were done. Can't fumble the baton. We got to take it and we got to pass it to the next. That's what Paul's saying here. This ministry of multiplication, maybe a better way of saying it is just you got to pass it on. Warren Wiersbe says it this way: the Christian church is dependent on an unbroken chain of witnesses. The witness is a link in the living chain which stretches unbroken from this present moment back to Jesus Christ. The glory of witnessing is that it links the present reality with the earthly, with the death and resurrection and life of Jesus Christ. I want to go back to George's church for a minute. Back in Melbourne, Australia, they didn't see their church as a building. And in fact, for a while, they didn't have a building. They just kind of met in these homes. They didn't see themselves as a location. They saw themselves as a movement. And that's quite interesting, because did you know that the biblical word, get fancy here just for a minute, ekklesia is the Greek word for church. Okay? And it doesn't mean a building. It literally refers to a group of people that are gathering together for a common purpose and goal. And so a church isn't a building. It's a movement. It's supposed to be a movement, a people on the move, on mission for the purposes of God. And that's how George and his group saw themselves. They felt a strong sense of responsibility for those outside the church. They desperately wanted their friends and their family and their community to know Jesus. They did. Do we? Interesting, in their church, they began to target groups. Now, they were in a large city, Melbourne, large city. They began to target different groups of people. And over the years, this is over many years, they planted six different churches. And some of them didn't make it. They planted churches that failed, but you know what? They took risks. They tried anything and everything to get people to Christ and to start new churches in different areas of town. They had one church that met in the red light district. We all know what that is. And it was called Matthew's Party. That was the name of the church. Do you remember? Do you happen to know what that's a reference to? When Matthew first got saved, he had a little dinner party at his house, and he invited all of his friends who didn't know Christ. All of his tax collector friends came to his house and met with Jesus. So they named this church Matthew's Party. They had another church that was a Jewish church. One of the early members was a Jewish person who came to faith in Christ. And they realized all over the city there were Jews. And so they had an outreach. They called it Celebrate Messiah. And it actually evolved over time into a whole network, almost like a whole denomination of Jewish Christian churches. Now, I want to back up for a minute. I mean, that's a rare thing for George to get saved in jail and for it to result in not only a church plant and a bunch of people getting saved there, but then churches planted. I don't think God's going to, you know, do that through every single one of us. But here's the deal. I want to just simplify it. Somebody shared Jesus with you. Somebody put the baton in your hand. We had my friend Kevin last year come and speak with us. Back when I was in college, Kevin put the baton in my hand. He clarified. I was seeking. I wanted to know God. I thought I knew God, but I didn't know God's grace. And Kevin explained it to me, and I received it. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to take the baton and put it in other people's hands. I've tried to put it in my kids' hands. Bet you have too. Look for opportunities to put this baton in other people's hands, the gospel. And that's all you're responsible for. Who's on your list? That's the ministry of multiplication. Now, one final thing here. that I see in this passage before we leave it. Number five, this will require endurance and focus. And this is actually where we get the soldiering metaphor from in this final passage we're going to look at this morning. Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, and I say to you and to myself, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. He's just sharing a principle. He says, endure hardship, first of all. You see, it wasn't just Paul that was facing trials. Timothy was facing his own trials, his own opposition in the gospel work that he was doing. And we might face opposition as well. You might have somebody make you feel like you're stupid. That's probably about as heavy as it's going to get for most of us. You might have somebody say, "Well, I don't believe that." You might have somebody ask you a question you're just not quite sure how to answer. You know what? That's okay. Say, "Hey, I'm going to go ask my pastor about that. Can I ask my pastor about that? I'm not sure the answer to that question. I'll help any way I can." Or, "I'm going to go to the Word of God myself and I'm going to find the answer to that question." But endure hardship. Endure it in God's strength, friends. I'm going to be honest with you. Witnessing is not easy in the post-Christian 2018 year that we live. There's a lot of things working against the gospel. Religion as a whole is seen very negatively in today's culture. The church, most people kind of have a negative view of the church. There's this mantra even that's out there, love Jesus but hate the church. There's actually a book written by that title. People, they're okay with Jesus because they don't understand Jesus, but they don't like the church. We're the group that doesn't get along. We're the group that's too rigid. We're the group that's behind the times. People don't, you know, it makes it difficult to be a witness sometimes. But endure hardship. Don't run away from people. Move towards people. Keep moving towards the lost, friends, with love, with compassion, with prayer, building bridges. Ask yourself, what do I need to do to build some bridges, some relationship bridges, some contact with some of the unbelievers in my life? God, give me wisdom. I'm not sure what to do here. Get a plan. Pray about it. And friends, let's keep figuring out, you all and me, let's keep figuring out how to do this together. Because this isn't just, witnessing just isn't a you event by yourself. We need to figure out how to do this together to our community and to the people around us, and how to encourage one another. And so we need to pray more about that. Because the world needs Jesus, and the world needs the good news of the gospel more than ever, because it's so lost. And then that verse 4 is interesting. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. I believe that the purpose of his statement here is a soldier in wartime doesn't get distracted with other things. Civilian affairs is the phrase he uses. This isn't a call for Christians never to be involved in anything that's in secular culture. That's not what this is saying. He's simply saying, stay focused like a soldier in war. Stay focused on the main thing. Because what? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And don't get distracted from it. He's afraid Timothy's going to get distracted. Does anybody ever get distracted, get busy, forget about Jesus for a while? Paul's just saying, stay focused like a soldier would in battle. who wants to please his commander. And our commander is Jesus, and we want to please him. We want to serve him. So this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who gave all for our national freedom. But as Christians today, we remember Jesus Christ. Today and every day, we remember him, we live for him, and we share him in the strength of God's grace. I was just telling John this morning regarding Torch. I've been thinking about how to stay more involved with that particular ministry. And so one of the things I'm going to do, plan on doing in the coming months is I'm going to be leading a Bible study, a weekly Bible study over with some of the students there. And I want, that's the thought that I had even this week as I was preparing this message. Yes, Lord, I need to do this. I need to be putting myself out there where I'm with people who need the Lord Jesus, where I can share with them. And they need the Lord just like everyone else. And I share that with you to ask for prayer as I begin that venture, but also to say, what's your plan? What are you going to do with your list? First, got to have a list. Begin to pray over that list. Begin to pray for opportunity. If you just feel like, man, I wouldn't even know what to say, then meet with me. Make an appointment with Pastor Mike, and we'll sit down together, and we'll just talk through together. What would you share? And we'll learn together. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We remember him today as the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice. He threw his body on the grenade, so to speak. He allowed his body to be hung on the cross to bear our sin, to rescue us from eternity separated from you, God. And now you call us to take that baton of good news and pass it on, share it with others, to be a witness for you, to remember Jesus every day. Lord, to do this, as we saw in the passage today, God, we need your strength. Left to ourselves, left on our own, we just won't do it. We won't do it. We get scared, we get distracted, we get busy, we get hard-hearted, we don't care. But Lord, if we remember Jesus every day and we remember what Jesus did for us every day, God, then we would turn to you and be motivated and be, and Lord, ask you, we're asking you now, God, we need your strength. We need your spiritual strength to have the courage and the wisdom and the boldness and the freedom to share our faith with others, to build bridges towards others, showing them your love, showing them what you are like, and sharing them with them what you have done for them in on the cross. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to do this as individuals. Yes, Lord. Help us each in our own to look for opportunities, because we all have a different list of people. But Lord, as a congregation, as a local ecclesia, a group that is set apart for the service of your kingdom, help us to do this together, to encourage one another, to support one another, to pray for one another, to come up with strategies even where we can corporately reach out and see people come to Christ. And we pray for our community. Even right now, I want to pray for the mental list that people sitting in seats right now in this church have in their mind, people that they know, family members, children, neighbors, friends, co-workers that we know need to know Jesus. Lord, even right now, on behalf of this congregation, I want to pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would prepare the way would be at work convicting those people of their need for Christ. God, open doors of opportunity and help us to walk through them and to not shy away to share what they so desperately need and what we so beautifully have, and that is salvation in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.